I'm Stephen Yah with YahvahYahweh.name website. That's YahvahYahweh.name. Obviously, you found it. And we're in chapter 7 of the two Joshuas of the Old Testament, or two Yahushas of the Old Testament. From the article, What Difference Does the True Name Make? Next chapter is going to be getting into answering that question, what difference does the true name make? There in chapter 8. So get set for a real barn burner coming up here. That should be very exciting. And right now we're talking about Yahusha, son of Nun. Perhaps one of the most interesting, rarely mentioned life types in the scriptures are the stories of the two Joshuas or Yahushas. They are both forerunners of our Messiah, each fulfilling to some extent a type of what our Savior was prophesied to fulfill. Let's examine their lives. Joshua, the son of Nun, or Yasha, was originally named Oshea, O-S-H-E-A, in Numbers 13. His father's name, Nun, pronounced Nun, or Nun, means perpetuity, perpetuity. Recall that Yahweh's name means self-existent. So, his father's name was Nun, son of Nun. The name O-S-H-E-A, or Oshea, is the same as Hosea, H-O-S-E-A, or H-O-S-H-E-A, either way, pronounced Hosea, Hosea, which means deliverer, or salvation. That's from Strong's Concordance, number 1954, in Strong's, in the Hebrew. And deliverer, also 3467 in the Hebrew, 3467. The name Oshea is the same as Hosea. Strong's tells us that it comes from the Hebrew word Yasha, pronounced Yasha, Y-A-W-S-H-A-H, Yasha, meaning to save or salvation. Moses changed Oshea's name, his name to Jehoshua, or Jehoshua, Shua, of course, meaning crying out. Again, from Strong's, we see that this is the same as Jehoshua and Joshua. From Strong's Concordance, number 3091, Jehovah saved Jehoshua, the Jewish leader. And much more references there. 1954 in the Hebrew, and so on. Some of you folks don't know what those numbers mean. That's fine for now, okay? We'll just read them out there for you from Strong's Concordance. It's a comprehensive book, kind of like a dictionary. And again, from Strong's, we see that this is the same as Joshua. Moses changed Oshea's name to Joshua. Douglas, in his dictionary, tells us that Moses added the separated name, calling him Yehoshua, or he says Yehoshua, normally rendered in English Joshua. We read that Moses chose him to lead the army, such as it was against Amalek in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. There's something different about that man, however, as we shall see, that he was destined to fulfill a special purpose. Scripture tells us that Joshua went up into the mountain with Moses, with Aaron, Aaron's sons, and the rest of the 70 elders, of which Joshua seems to have been a part in Exodus 24. Upon the mount, they were met by Yahweh, verse 11. They were met by Yahweh, Exodus 24. Moses and Joshua came up again to receive the tables of stone. The following chapters explain the instructions given to Moses. No more said about Joshua, whether he went all the way up with Moses or just part way. We next find Moses being told of the people's rebellion, and Joshua commenting to Moses about the noise. Aaron and the others appear to have gone down from the mountain. Thus we see that Joshua was not among the people during the making of the idol, of that Egyptian idol made out of the jewels. He was the only man with Moses on the mountain for 40 days. So Moses and Joshua came up again to receive the tables of stone. A little more is shown of this man's relationship with Yahweh in Exodus 33:11, where we see that Joshua remained in the tabernacle with Moses. Perhaps these situations can be explained away, since Joshua is described as the servant of Moses. But it says, because of his military leadership, that he was more than a valet or a butler. We see in this verse he was a young man, undoubtedly born in Egypt, a type of sin. Egypt is a type of sin. That's where we get the Alexandrian scrolls that give us the corrupted scripture versions. Well-known account in Numbers 13, where Joshua was one of those sent to spy out the land. He and Caleb were faithful in their report, Numbers 14, Deuteronomy 1. As a result, they were the only two from Egypt who would enter the land. Joshua was commanded to succeed Moses as the leader of the Israelites. He had direct instructions and encouragements from Yahweh. And in the King James and all the other modern versions, L-O-R-D is actually Y-H-V-H. Also see Joshua chapter 1. Now note in Deuteronomy 3 that Joshua would cause the people to inherit the land. He was told to divide the inheritance. Is this not, in a lesser type, one of the prophecies that our Savior is to fulfill to cause his people to inherit the earth and to rule it? In Matthew 5:5 and Revelation 5:10. Further, he caused them to receive a type of baptism or immersion, much as Moses had in taking the Israelites through the sea. Joshua led them through the Jordan at the time when it was at its high level. With the intervention of Yahweh, they crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Chapter 3 of Joshua. During the journey in the wilderness, the Israelites had not circumcised their children. Thus the males were uncircumcised. Joshua caused them to be circumcised according to the law of circumcision. Paul said in Colossians 2, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah, of Yahusha. Thus we see that Yahusha also caused the people to be circumcised this time, circumcised of the heart. Joshua set up the tabernacle at Shiloh, which has its permanent place until David's time, in Joshua 18:1. He established the cities of refuge, safe places for those who had unintentionally injured or killed another. It shielded them from the letter of the law, thus a form of justice with mercy, Joshua 20. He established the cities of the Levites for the priests to dwell in, Joshua 21. Joshua did all that Moses told him to do. Finally, just before he died, he exhorted the people to choose to serve Yahweh, Joshua 24. So thus far we have that the Father's name means perpetuity or perpetual. Thus he was the son of perpetuity. His name means Yah's salvation. Joshua's name, Yah's salvation. He was born in the land of Egypt. He was on the mount with Moses at the receiving of the tables, the Ten Commandments and the whole law. No account of having had food or water for 40 days. He remained in the tabernacle, the only other person beside Moses. Yet he was not a priest, thus showing he had favor, or grace, Christians say. He had favor. He was sent to spy out the land to see what it was like. Isn't that one of the things that Yahusha, our Messiah, did? He showed unswerving faith. He caused the people to inherit the land. The land being a type of the kingdom. Caused the people to be baptized or immersed or tubaled, the Hebrew word tubal, through the Jordan River. He caused the people to be circumcised now of the heart. And he set up the tabernacle in a permanent location, which in Shiloh, which stayed there until David's time. He established a form of justice and mercy in the cities of refuge. Now, here we go, and we are 9 minutes, about 10 minutes into this taping here. Yahusha the high priest, or it says here, Yahshua the high priest. in the article, what difference does the true name make? We read in Haggai 1:1 that Joshua, whose name means Yahweh's salvation, was the son of Josedek. I wouldn't know how to pronounce that in Hebrew, but that you've all heard that, Josedek. So, Joshua, his father's name means Yahweh righted, and is composed of a combination of words meaning Yahweh and to cause, to make right, to cleanse, respectively. So, Josedek was his father, and the father's name means Yahweh righted, composed of a combination of words meaning Yahweh and to cause, to make right, to cleanse. And I don't know the Hebrew number for Josedek, but that'd be easy to look up in your E4 program or E-sword. Then we read in Ezra 2:2 that Joshua came out of captivity from Babylon, where he had undoubtedly been born. Babylon is pictured as a land of sin throughout the scriptures. Further, that he set up the altar and offered offerings which had not been done since they went into captivity. He caused them to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. See Ezra chapter 3. He was responsible for rebuilding the temple along with the governor Zerubbabel, Haggai 1:14. And now let's listen to an interesting prophetic account. It pictures an important part of the purpose of our Savior, Yahusha's life and his sacrifice. So Yahusha the Messiah. And Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Joshua is seen standing here before the messenger of Yahweh. Satan is right there to interfere. Remember that this Lord here is, or as they write that, L-O-R-D, is Yahweh, the personal name of the supreme ruler of the universe. Then in verse 2, Zechariah 3, we see that Yahweh rebukes Satan. Next verse, Joshua is pictured as clothed in filthy garments, a type of sin. Did not our Savior become sin for us? Isn't that what Isaiah and 2 Corinthians are telling us? Isaiah 53, 2 Cor 5:21, 1 Peter 2:22, and the next verse, the filthy garments is removed from Joshua and new raiment given him. Well, Yahusha, our Messiah, became sin for us upon his resurrection and acceptance by the Father. He is clothed in white, a symbol of purity and righteousness. Thus we see him in vision in Matthew 17:2, in a vision dressed in white raiment. Those whose sins were borne by Yahusha at the stake shall also be given white raiment. Compare Revelation 3:5 and 7:9. Then back to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua is given a fair mitre upon his head. A mitre is a diadem or headdress or turban. It is a symbol of the priesthood being one of the garments. Then in Zechariah 3:8, we got a couple of minutes left here. Zechariah 3:8, for they are men wondered at, are for a sign or omen. This is followed by the prophesying of the branch in Zechariah chapter 3. Read in Jeremiah 23, who this branch is, Jeremiah 23:5. Who he is called Yahweh Sukenu, or T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U, Yahweh Sukenu, or Yahweh our righteousness. We find that a stone is to be laid before Joshua, which we know is our Savior. John called him Yahusha, Messiah, the righteous, in 1 John 2:1. Thus we see that Joshua and the men with him are given for a sign. In the above verses, Jeremiah 23, Isaiah 28, 1 John 2, we saw that Joshua is pictured as a type of our Savior who took on our sins, being accepted and made clean. Now look at Zechariah chapter 6. Additional info. This prophetic passage is easy to miss unless one considers the meaning of the names of the individuals. This will reveal much of its purpose. Zechariah 6:9, we read that Zechariah had revealed to him to accept offerings from several Israelis who had also returned from exile, and to make a crown or crowns. Then he was to take it to the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, or Stephen, son of Zephaniah or Zephaniah. There he was to place the crown upon the head of Joshua. There are some who dispute that it was Joshua who was crowned in this passage. However, there are no manuscripts that support this dispute that they have. Now let's consider these names and meanings. Zephaniah means Yah has secreted. In Strong's Concordance, Yah has secreted 6846. 6846 in Strong's. Zephaniah. It's a Zephaniah. All right, that's good. That's my name. And Josiah means founded of Yah. Jediah means Yah has known. And Tobiah means Yah is good, the goodness of Yahweh. Actually, I don't use that word good. How about great? I substitute that. Good is from the German Gott, and the derivative is a pagan god, so I use great instead of good, which is a small point, but it's still important. But not everybody has to do it my way. Nobody has to do it that way. Nobody does. No, some of us do it this way, some that. From this we see that the prophet takes from those who were pleasing to Yahweh and for whom Yahweh cares, and goes to the house of one founded of Yahweh, the son of one whom Yahweh hid through the captivity, maybe? The son of one whom Yahweh hid there to make crowns and place one upon the head of one named Yah's salvation, Joshua, the son of Yahweh, cleansed. Then he, the prophet Zechariah, Yah has remembered, then he was to say, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Yahweh. Now we know that Joshua, the son of Josedek, was not the Savior. He's not my Savior. Yahusha is. But it is quite apparent there that he is shown here as a type bearing the same name of Yahusha or Joshua. Joshua or Yahusha did play a major role in the rebuilding of the temple at that time, though we see in the next verse that the verse 13, that the prophecy proceeds far beyond the immediate time. And when we say the next verse, verse 13, we've lost the original chapter number here. So I'll have to go back, maybe. Let's see. I can't. Was it chapter 3, I believe, we were in there? No, chapters. I think the last reference was Zechariah chapter 6. Okay, get that mic back there on bearing. So, can you see then the picture portrayed? It is indeed a prophetic type and indicates even the true name of our Savior, since Yahusha, or Joshua, is only an English rendering of Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, which I changed. I have to change that because of Shua being corrupt, but Yahusha. So Joshua, or Joshua, is only, or Yasha, is only an English rendering of Yahusha. Further, this prophecy names the Savior, the branch, as Joshua, or Yahshua, or Yahshua, I just said that. Rending further, we find that this crown or crowns are for a memorial to the above-named individual. And such as Tobiah and Jedidiah and so on. And a new name, Hen, meaning unmerited favor. That's from Strong's Concordance, 2581, Hebrew word 2581, favor. And the Protestants say, and the Christians say, grace. But study out the derivative of grace, and you'll probably want to use unmerited favor. After the crowning of Joshua, a type of our Savior, Yahusha, favor was added. So it is with our Savior, who, having paid the supreme price for us, is with his Father in heaven. Yahusha, the Savior, is with his Father in heaven, obtaining or having obtained a crown. Thus we now have favor. And before I finish this file here, about 20 minutes now. Let's recap. Joshua came out of captivity out of Babylon. He was the high priest. He rebuilt the temple. His father's name was Yahweh cleansed or made right. He set up the altar. His name means Yah salvation. He was crowned the branch. He was for a sign. And next, as I said, is chapter 8 from the article, What Difference Does the True Name Make? And that shall be the title of our next article here and sound file, chapter 8. Oh, that's going to be an exciting one there, I believe, for most of us. Thanks for joining us here on YahvehYahweh.name. Hallel Yahweh. Shalom.